Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Before we get into the scripture tonight that God's laid on my heart, and I kind of want to give you some background of what we're going to be looking at. And it's actually a very well-known story. Most kids know this story. If they've come to church for a while, they've been in children's ministry, they would have come across this story. But the Lord really placed it upon my heart to look at it from a fresh perspective. And that's one of the great things about the Word, the Bible, is the more you read it, it just seems to me that he adds stuff in there as you go. Because I've read things many times, and then I'll read it again, and it's like brand new. I'm like, Holy Ghost, did you just pencil that in there while I wasn't looking? And so this story is one where God loves this very wicked people. And he loves them so much that he sends this man of God to go and share this message with them that they're headed for destruction unless they change their ways. And this man of God, he doesn't want to go at all. Doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And God does these different miracles, really, to change the mind of the man of God and to get him to go and speak to that people, and he does, and this tremendous thing happens. All those people, they're saved. All those people, they're saved. Now, what story could that be that's well known? It could be something, sounds like maybe from the Old Testament, or maybe it's a story, one of the stories of the Apostle Paul and establishing churches in the New Testament and going through Athens and the different places. And once I give you the reference, you'll know it's Book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah, chapter 3. And we're going to look at and read 1 through 10 in Jonah 3. But what so stood out to me and what really we're going to look at is the love of God for a people that wanted nothing to do with them. Love of God for a wicked nation. And there's a couple places of application that I believe God wants to speak to us. But Jonah chapter 3, if you've got your Bible, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Come on now. There we go. Why don't you stand, if you would, for the reading of the word. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command. Somebody say, this time. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne. Somebody say, wow. And took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. Verse 10, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. We pray for revelation. Holy Ghost, that you would come. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, come upon us that we may grow in the knowledge of you tonight. Come on, ask him to speak to you tonight. Ask him to open up the eyes of your understanding tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd anoint me in this short time we have together to be able to release that which you desire to release. I thank you for the anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can go and be seated. So yes, the story that I shared, it's actually the story of Jonah. And many of the kids here in the sanctuary can relate to that. And I picked it specifically, especially Sunday nights when I get the opportunity to preach on Sunday nights, I like to base it off of a story that the children can grab a hold to as well, because on Sunday nights we have family night and many of the children are in the sanctuary. So I want them to have something that they can hold on to also. And so if you're unfamiliar with the story of Jonah, I'm going to sum it really quickly. God speaks to this prophet Jonah to go to Nineveh, this wicked city, and to declare exactly what he declared, that if they didn't repent, God was going to destroy the city. And amazingly, the prophet, this man of God, says, nope, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that. And he ends up going the opposite direction. He ends up getting on a ship and intends to sail a different way. God sends a storm upon that ship, so much so that the people that were on the ship with him, they're tossing out cargo. They're trying to figure, they're praying to their gods, crying out to their gods. They end up casting lots, which is a form of like drawing straws. And they would go, okay, whichever one draws the shortest straw, they angered their gods. And so it ended up being Jonah. And so they ask him, Jonah, what did you do? And Jonah explains, well, I was told to do this, but I don't want to do it. And they ended up, I'm just going to make this shorter, they ended up tossing Jonah overboard, because that's what Jonah said, hey, if you want this storm to end and you want to live, throw me overboard. And they did. And as he's sinking down, well, let me say this. As soon as they tossed him over, the storm ended. And it was a sign to all those on the ship that there really is a God. And that's an important thing. But as Jonah is sinking down, what happens to him? Any of the kids paying attention? What happens? I saw some hands. Just yell at me. What happens? He got swallowed by a big fish. Right? And I don't know about you, maybe, I don't know how it is for the kids today, but when I was growing up, we had a lot of cartoons that you would see someone get swallowed by a whale or a big fish. And we didn't really think about this, but when that took place, what the next scene would be, they'd be in there and somehow there'd be a shipwreck or something inside this fish or this whale. And they're sitting around a campfire, and it wasn't until I was older that I'm like, oh, how does that, any of that even make sense? What was it really like for Jonah? With Jonah, it wasn't probably some big, he was probably very cramped and very smelly and very slimy and maybe difficult to breathe. Imagine 3 days, I believe it was, in the belly of this fish. Amazing. But this was God's work of salvation for Jonah, giving him a second chance. And so after Jonah comes to his senses and says, God, I'm going to do what you said, God has Jonah vomited onto the beach or out of the fish. And imagine being on the shore that day and seeing whatever he looked like climb out of the water at that moment. Right? It's amazing when you begin to look at some of these Bible stories with a little realism and go, that's not as pretty as maybe we see in our coloring pages in children's ministry. And so that's exactly where we find Jonah now. He goes to Nineveh and shares this word. And I want to say this as well. The reason that he does not want to go to Nineveh is because the Nineveh is an Assyrian city. And the Assyrians are very wicked. And if you follow the history of Israel and God's people, they were at war with the Assyrians more often than not. And the Assyrians did very terrible things. And even later on in history, the Assyrians did terrible things. But what I believe God wants us to focus on tonight is that even though that was the case, God wanted to give them an opportunity. He wanted to give them a chance. God wanted his word to be declared to them, to give them the opportunity to repent, to give them this moment to be able to say, we will turn from our ways and we're going to turn to God. And they did. This story astounds me, not necessarily just the story of Jonah getting swallowed by a fish and spit up and all of that and then preaching, but then this massive, successful city from the least to the greatest, from the king all the way down, submitted to God and said, we're going to turn from our ways and we're going to follow you. We're going to obey God. We're not going to be violent and wicked any longer. It's astounding. And what it speaks to me, and there's two applications, and I'm not going to preach to you much longer tonight. We want to get onto baptisms, but there's two major applications that I believe God wants to speak to us. Number one, don't you underestimate what God can do through your life. It took one man obeying God. He didn't even want to go. But it took one man obeying the word of the Lord for his life and stepping into this city. It wasn't, how are these people going to turn back to God? They don't want to have anything to do with what God represents. If you look what the Assyrians, what they did and how they worshiped their gods, it was nothing like how the Hebrews, God's people, worshiped their gods. And yet somehow, as he goes through this city and preaches this message, a whole city was saved. A whole city was saved. And as I was looking at this, I was reminded by the Lord of Pastor Daniel's message this morning on revival and the revivals over the years, and how when a people would rise up and pray and would seek God, when a people would rise up and someone would begin to share the word and step out, God would respond. And a whole, well, we talked about the Welsh revival and not even only cities, but whole people groups turning to God. This is the heritage of the people of faith, that if you step out in obedience with what God has called you to do, he responds. Something happened. What does it take for a city to be saved? I love the question in Scripture. Can a nation be saved in a day? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. In Native Fellowship, which I have the privilege, along with my wife and my sister, Minister Sarah, and some of our other, and many other leaders, I have the privilege of leading on Thursday nights at 7. In Native Fellowship, one of the vision statements, it's just two words really that we've adopted, is every tribe. We've adopted the statement, every tribe. And it refers to Revelation 5 and Revelation 7, where we see in heaven, every tribe, every nation, and every tongue represented there. And the vision and the burden that God has given us is that every one of our native tribes would be well represented in heaven, that not one would be lacking, not one would be least, that when we get to the marriage supper, the banquet table of the Lamb, and we're looking around and we're laughing and we're joking, that there's not a tribe, that there's only a couple, there's only a few. No, God has called us to begin to dream dreams like that, where we can step up and impact tribes and nations and cities and peoples, our whole community, because somebody would stand up and proclaim that which the Lord has placed within them. So you can't discount what God has called you to do. and that vision and the call upon your life. I'll share very quickly just from my own life. I love to preach the word. Every opportunity I get, anywhere I get asked to go, I do my best. I love to do so. I love to declare the word of the Lord. But many would be surprised to know that growing up, I was not a communicator. I was not a speaker. I grew up in a village in southwest Alaska of 75 people. And when I was in high school, we had 3 people in high school at the time. And I didn't know that I had any social issues until in 2000, we moved, the middle, 99-2000. Anybody remember Y2K? We actually moved strategically, I think it was. We were in Orlando, Florida for the turn of the year, just in case. I don't know if you remember that. Just in case the whole world went down. Praise God. A lot of the younger generation probably has no idea what I'm talking about. You can Google Y2K and giggle at us later. However, we were there for that. Nothing happened, and we ended up moving here to Wasilla, and I went to Wasilla High with hundreds of other kids. And I've shared over the years this. I didn't know that I had any kind of a social issue until I had to go and talk to all these people that I didn't know, sit with people that I didn't know, never seen before. I grew up in a place where I knew everybody, was related to most people. And people, anybody from the villages, you know what I mean? You're somebody's cousin, second cousin, third uncle, I don't know. There's some old person will come up, an elder will come up to you and say, you know, you're my, you know, whatever. Or maybe you're an uncle, but you're younger than the person that you're younger than your nephew. Okay, that's common. Coming from that and going to Wasilla and trying to talk to people, I've shared this before. I just couldn't. I didn't know how. I had no capacity for it. I didn't know that. It was so much so that there were some lunch periods where I would eat my lunch in high school in the bathroom stall because some of you are like, that's weird. Well, I just couldn't fathom sitting across from somebody I didn't know and just talking to them. And I share that to say, going from that and eventually growing and coming to Kings and feeling the call from God to be a preacher and one who declares the word, and then going, God, are you sure you've got the right one? Because I have a hard time talking to anybody. I can't talk to one person still. It's still just anxiety, just because I don't know what to say. Just awkward, and it's just weird. But as I began to obey in that and take steps of faith, the ability came. The Spirit of the Lord came to fill in the gaps of where I wasn't enough, where I fell short, where I didn't, where my weakness was, became strength through me because of the leaning upon Him in the midst of obedience. So the first application really is, what does it take for a city or a people to be saved? Well, it's for someone to go. For someone to go. Who will go? Who will go? And before you go, like the scripture says, send me, I'll go. Understand, Jonah. See, Jonah had to go to the people that killed his people. The Assyrians, that's what they did. And carried the gospel, their gospel. It's not the gospel for, as far as we understand, for the Messiah, but the repenting and submitting to God so you won't be destroyed. And it may be that God calls you to those that you really don't want to talk to, you really don't want to relate to, They make you cringe. Oh, don't look at me like that. They make you cringe. And maybe it's because it reminds you of things in the past. But God will take that. He'll take that and he'll use you. Second application tonight. As we see also within this, I believe, how to stay in revival. And I'll show you what I mean. The title of the message actually is Revived or Revival. It's a question. Because I believe, I mean, for all intents and purposes, we would say Nineveh had a revival. If we're going to talk about, like we did this morning, like Pastor Daniels talked about, reaching these cities, reaching these places, and the whole city getting saved, all the people coming to the Lord, and the whole city turning around, they had a revival. But you know what happened within about 150 years? Nineveh was destroyed. So somewhere between this major moment where they turned to God and a couple generations later, there was a turning away. It had to be, because God doesn't just willy-nilly, I don't know where that term came from, but he doesn't just, do this, maybe I'll do this here. Oh, now I'm going to change my mind now. And even though it says here, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind. That statement, I don't believe that's correctly expressed there, because it was still his mind and his heart for them to repent and for him to relent. So that's not necessarily the state. It's not like he just all of a sudden will change his mind about you. No, they would have had to turn away and disobey. They would have had to turn away from what originally they had, how they had repented, what had brought about that salvation into the city. And I believe that's what happened. And I believe it's a word for us here, because each of us, especially after this power conference all this week and all that God has been doing over the months and months of great outpourings here, many have been revived, I believe. People touched powerfully by the fire and the power of God. Notable healings. Oh, ears being opened, eyes being opened. I hear testimonies almost every day of healing and of God touching someone's life. And where one way they were headed to destruction and addicted and afflicted, then all of a sudden the power of God comes upon their life and everything changes. You look in their eyes and it's different. You see that they're different. But it's one thing to be revived like that. But it's another thing to live a life of revival. And the reason that I titled the message Revived or Revival is because there must be a decision where we live off of the moment where we were revived, or we live in a way where we're walking in constant revival, or the reviving work of the Holy Spirit and power of God is at work in us and in our families and in our church, so that we can stay revived, stay in the midst of revival. One of the things that have happened over the years, you look at many of the revivals and outpourings, even that Pastor Daniel talked about this morning, one of the things that happened is that where no longer is God moving in their midst, is they stay so focused on the one thing that happened at one time that they miss out on the new thing that God is desiring to do. And we can be so focused on the one moment where he touched our lives that we're not pressing and pushing for the continual working, the continual moving within our lives. So two things very quickly I noticed from here that I believe Nineveh could have done to see destruction not taken out of their future. Number one, relationship. They were isolated. So they turned to God, but then what? They're still isolated from the rest of the people of God. And there's no relationship now there. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest hindrances to you staying in the midst of the move of God and in the midst of what we would call revival is relationships. Not having godly relationships and strong relationships and connections within the body of Christ will hinder you. And I think that they could have done something to bridge the gap where now they become connected to the Israelites or Judah. I believe this was about the time where they were separated, the two nations. However, something could have been done where they were connected then to relationship. Maybe they would have had to pick up everything and move. You know, Nineveh was more than a city, it was a people. I say it that way to say, do whatever you've got to do to be in the relationships you need so that you can maintain that reviving work, the working of the Holy Spirit. It's not about you just praying and fasting by yourself long enough that everything works out. No, we need each other. We need to come together to be able to walk this out. I need you. You need me. And there was only a couple of amens there, the you need me part. My wife, I don't even think that she said amen. You can pray for us. Hallelujah. Relationship. Relationship. And I think in a day like today, where you can get on the internet and have some form of relationship, we miss out on real relationships. You know, getting to know my brother Chris Bracken here. He encourages me whenever I see him. And I know I encourage him. And we're better because we're together. And we're going to make it because we're together. Hallelujah. Come on. And I could grab hands with so many people throughout this sanctuary and say the same thing. And maybe you don't feel that way. I want to encourage you that this place is yes, we're here for seeing people saved, but even beyond that, for developing strong relationships, because it's together as a body in relationship that we're then able to do what God has called us to do. There is a place for you. Listen to me, maybe you feel tonight that you don't feel like you have a place. I'm telling you right now, there is a place for you here. And we want that your relationship. We want you to not only did they miss out on relationship, but there was the second point I have on that is discipleship, but that doesn't really fit it fully for me. They did not pass down what took place. Maybe two or three generations go by, and then they see destruction. I believe that the generation that we see here that was impacted by the message and grabbed a hold of it. But then it was lost at some point. Again, because they're isolated and separated and there's not relationship, but there's not a passing down. And that's a discipleship. The reason that we encourage people to go to Discover Track and go to life groups and be a part of the teams and any of those things so that we can help disciple and strengthen and pour into. I've had the privilege of being a part of Kings now for, was it 18 years? 2006, 18 years. And not as long as Pastor Kirsten, but long enough to see people come and God touches their lives. It's an amazing thing, and we celebrate, and we're walking with them and encouraging them, and God is touching and healing and giving breakthrough. But then things start to happen where, man, they're not in church like they used to be in church. And they're not serving like they used to serve. And then maybe they're here once a month, and then not at all. And it comes not too long afterwards down the road that all of a sudden that we hear that some terrible thing has happened. I could tell you crazy stories of people dying, of families getting wiped out, all their kids on drugs, all the serious stories. Because the enemy was able to get in and pull them away from the life of the church. And they thought it was just, we'll be okay. will show up every now and then. Sometimes it's sports that pulls you away or whatever. Oh, these different things. Or we'll watch online, and so thankful for those online. God bless you. But it's not the same as this relationship, this vibrant relationship where the Spirit of God working in me impacts the Spirit of God. I mean, you and the Spirit of God working in you impacts me, and we're able to encourage one another. I want to just encourage you. I'm almost done. I'm going to close here in just a moment, but I want to encourage you. Develop relationships in the house. Don't be isolated. Don't be isolated. Don't let the devil get into your mind and let you think that and convince you that nobody wants to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I can point you to 100 people without exaggeration, 100 people that want to be your friend. You need a friend, you come and talk to me. And all through this place, I see smiles and those throughout this place. This is what we love, to grab a hold of other people and say, you belong here. You're family here. You're part of this. Hallelujah. It's part of who we are as kings and what God has called us to do. And it's an integral part of revival. And so instead of just looking for these momentary moments, I'm reminded of preaching a message where I listened to it later and I said moment 100 times. Serious. There's momentary, looking at these moments where, oh yeah, God touched my life. Or I went to King's last power conference and this happened. But what about in between? And I'll tell you what will help you in between is relationship and just being a part of the life of the church. Praise God. I know that there's an assignment from the enemy to try and keep that from happening. To try and keep that from happening. Hallelujah. So let's just pray for a moment. I want you just all across this room, I want you to lift your hands just for a moment. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've been doing in this house. We don't want to just be living these moments of being revived. We want to walk in revival, where it never goes out, where the fire continues to burn. I pray right now that you would put your finger upon areas of our lives that are a hindrance to walking in the flow of the revival. Just feel his presence right now. He's washing over different ones. He's beginning to put his finger upon areas that he wants you to shift and change so you can see that consistent revival. The life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. Have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just real quickly, Brother Dave, I see the hand of God coming upon you. Great favor, great increase. I don't know if it's your desire to expand in the area of business, but I see God coming upon you in this year with great, great resource, great, great finance and opportunities. And there are going to come even things that bids that come along that are going to that are going to challenge your current framework. The Lord says, if you'll step into those, I'll give you the strategies. I'll give you the vision for it and the people for it. I thank you, Lord, that you called my brother to be a pillar in the house of God. Release that. Not only the provision, but the strategies and the anointing, the leadership anointing to go to the next level. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Every tribe. I want you to say that. Every tribe. One more time. Every tribe. God's called us to reach every tribe. And then I want you to say, my tribe. One more time. My tribe. This is your tribe. If you don't have a church, you can be a part of this one. Be a part of this tribe. So what I'm going to do, if you're not right with God tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to get right with him. Maybe you've never asked to Jesus to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior, to set you free from sin. He wants to touch your life and set you free. I want to give you that opportunity. All across this place, I want you to understand. Look at me. Understand. Don't be distracted. Understand that everyone has sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and that sin separates us from God. And if we die with that sin in our lives, we spend eternity separated from Him. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son Jesus, who lived a life without sin and then died on a cross in our place so that He could take our sin upon Himself. Now, 3 days later after His death, God raised Him from the dead as a sign for us that we can have resurrection life. But I want you to know that it was your sin and my sin that He died on that cross for. But just because He died on that cross for our sin does not mean it automatically applies to your life or my life. You have to make your own decision to receive Him as Lord and Savior. You have to make your own decision. Just because your parents are saved or you grew up in a Christian household doesn't mean that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. You have to make your own decision. So I'm going to give you that opportunity, head bowed, eyes closed, all across this place. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand and just wave at me and say, Pastor, I want to receive Him into my life. But secondly, maybe you've asked Him into your life in the past, but you've not been living right. And you know you're disconnected from Him and you need to recommit your life to Him. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand as well. All those here, all those watching online, wherever you're at, this is for you. Don't wait another day. This is your moment to give your heart to Him. And just like Nineveh was spared destruction, your life will be spared destruction because of repenting and calling upon Jesus. So if you fall into either of those categories, you want to receive Jesus for the first time, or you want to recommit your life to Him, lift your hand in 1, 2, 3. Lift your hands. I see those hands. On the right side, I see those hands. Hallelujah. I see that hand. See that hand. I see that hand. In the middle, oh, I see in the back, I see that hand. God bless you. In the middle, I see those hands. Praise God. Anybody else in the middle? On the right side, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Anybody else on this right, left side? My right, your left. I see that hand, young man. I see that hand. Praise God. Come on, so many giving their hearts to the Lord. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to repeat after me right out loud. If you lifted your hand or not, or you're here online, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for me. I believe He rose from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me brand new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I could do what you've called me to do and be who you've called me to be. Amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.